is Between the Lines, WMUK's weekly look at books and writers. I'm Zinta Astars. With an interest in true crime and Michigan history, journalist Tom Carr set out across the state to research some of the most gruesome and memorable murders he could find. He compiled them into a new book, Blood on the Mitten, Infamous Michigan Murders, 1700s to Present.
Well, I had covered some police and courts when I was a reporter. I've always liked reading true crime as well as history. I want to emphasize the history in this book as well as the crime aspect of it, because I try to put the two together to try to get the people involved in the whole picture, you know, what it was like in Michigan in those days, how things are the same or different from what they are now. There's one murder in here, which is probably the one that I am the most personally connected with, is one that occurred in 1996 in Kalkaska, and it was the murder of a 68-year-old woman. She had been assaulted in her home. She had been taken into her garage, put in the trunk of her own car. It was started, door closed. Horrible thing, horrible thing. It dragged on also, needlessly, for about 17 years as they had the wrong guy in prison, a guy who never even from the start matched the DNA found at the scene. But the Innocence Project in 2013 had a judge demand that they put the DNA on a nationwide database. They did, and got a hit almost immediately. And now hopefully it looks like the real killer is in prison. So I've always had a great interest in that case, which is one of the 57 murders in this book. And so we decided to meld my interests in true crime and in history and in Michigan. Kind of three of my interests coming together in one book.
I had to wonder, too, in the beginning you talk about some of the statistics in Michigan. We don't do so well, especially the city of Detroit.
Yeah, well, it at one time had the moniker Murder City, which of course was a play on Motor City. And that was unfortunate, and I don't think it's anywhere near the top anymore. There's a possibility of in the future doing a multi-state sort of series of this, of a books like this. And so I did some research, and I've kind of, you know, like been working on a proposal for a Wisconsin book. And I noticed that in sheer numbers, Michigan beats a state like Wisconsin quite handily.
Why is that?
I really don't know. But Wisconsin beats us on sheer depravity in a lot of cases.
Oh, okay. Well, if there's a silver lining in there anywhere.
As I say also in the beginning, murder is something that's been with us since the start. And I think that Michigan has had a strange trajectory since I've been thinking about the history and the murder trends under the big picture. I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but Michigan also has a lot of cities that, you know, like the boom and bust of Detroit can be paralleled with the boom and bust of many cities around the state. You know, there's other auto cities like Flint, but then there's copper cities like Calumet. When you talk about sheer rates, you're talking about most of them are the kinds of book of murders that would never get into a book like this because they're sadly routine, which I hate to say that because it's never routine for the people involved.
Yeah.
But I think that it would only be me speculating, I guess, so I should maybe not say, but I just think that there's been a lot of race for the great resources in this state, and then a lot of people leaving other, you know, then leaving an area, and then there's been desperation. And I know that desperation kind of breeds crime, so it's really not a book so much about rates. It's more about narratives, and it's more about things that make a good story, individual cases. So I guess in my very merely philosophical and observing, kind of from afar, the observing these trends, maybe it's because we've had more than our share of desperation.
This is Between the Lines on WMUK. I'm Zinta Astars. I asked Tom Carr how he did his research.
First of all, the visiting the places, I did that when I could. I did it as much as I could. And or if I wasn't able to visit them on the time constraints of putting out this first book, I researched as well as I could. I called people there and, you know, just tried to find out what was, you know, happened in that area today and tried to contrast it with what happened in the past. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, there are some cases where entire towns are gone. There's some places where, like you say, the Italian Hall, there's still the hall there. Bath, there's still a park and a, you know, cupola, which isn't the actually original cupola, but, you know, in the town. And then there's a school, a modern school across the street in which they have a little museum of the Bath bombing still. But yeah, I mean, the one in Detroit, the Stonehouse Manor, the man who killed his daughter and her friends because he didn't like her lifestyle, I guess you could call it hippie lifestyle or whatever, back in 1970. And I went with my brother to, you know, find a bunch of the sites that I mentioned in Detroit, and he drove me around. And, you know, I could see I went to the address and that there it's a vacant lot. And there are other buildings like it next to it and such, but apparently nobody, I don't know, you know, I think when blood is spilled in such a violent and sensational manner in some places, there's nobody that wants to live there and maybe not even on that plot of land in some cases. Mm. But then there's, the Williamsburg beheading from the 1890s.
Yeah.
I found out, you know, I went looking to see if there was still a house there. It is not, but then I did a little bit more research and found out that it was there for another 100 years almost. And it just sat there, and I don't know what it was used for, if anybody ever lived in it again. But then it was used in the 1990s as a training site for the fire department. So they burned it.
Right.
They burned it on purpose to train their firemen. So it's interesting when these structures still exist, and I try to find as many of them as I can, but then it's also understandable that a lot of them simply don't. But you can still kind of go there, maybe squint, and try to figure out, and try to just envision what things were like back in the day.
Have we learned anything, or are we doomed to be murderous beings forever?
Well, I think that murder is probably with us as a species because it has been from the start. I think it's the fourth chapter of Genesis, which is both the beginning of the Christian and Jewish holy books, that it's in the very fourth chapter that they deal with murder. So it's something that was with us then. And I think that's one thing that might actually give people hope, is that, yeah, there's horrible things that happen nowadays, but there have always been horrible people. There have always been horrible things that people have done to other people. We can do what we can to try to solve that, to try to lessen that, and I think we should, but take solace in that most of us go through our lives and, you know, these are the exceptions. These are not the rule.
These are
unusual occurrences.
I'm Zinta A-Stars. You've been listening to WMUK's Between the Lines, our weekly look at books and writers. I've been speaking with Tom Carr, the author of Blood on the Mitten, Infamous Michigan Murders, 1700s to Present. Visit WMUK.org to hear more of our conversation. And join us every Tuesday at this time for Between the Lines. Thanks for listening.